RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com. And by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. And by Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. To find a campground near you, visit campjellystone.com.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Our Girl Camper correspondent is Janine Pettit, host of the Girl Camper podcast and blogger over at girlcamper.com, and also a blogger for Go RVing, all around adventure, explorer, everythinger.
Everythinger. Cooker.
Everythinger. Cooker. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Welcome, Stephanie. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm really excited that you're here. This is a great review. I'm glad to finally have it on Campground of the Week. So we are going to talk all about Custer State Park in the Black Hills of South Dakota. But first, we want to thank our sponsor, Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. Award-winning Jellystone Parks have everything your family needs to make long-lasting camping memories. Whether you are an RV enthusiast, enjoy the comforts of a cabin, or prefer tent camping, Jellystone Parks have first-rate accommodations, amenities, and activities. From water zones to mini-golfs to themed weekends and appearances from Yogi and friends, you'll see that family fun is the main attraction. And with over 80 locations in the United States and Canada, you can have a quality camping experience that is close to home. Visit campjellystone.com to find a park near you. All right. Are you ready to dive into this review?
I am so ready. I've been dying to tell the world about this since I went there.
Yeah. And I'm happy to have you on because this is one of the biggest destinations in America. Really, let's face it. Who doesn't plan a trip at some point to visit Mount Rushmore, right?
Absolutely.
So this is high on a lot of people's bucket list. It also happens to be one of the best destinations for campgrounds. So people have a lot of choices when visiting this area, a lot of good ones. Carrie Cox reviewed the Rafter J Bar Ranch on episode number 49 of Campground of the Week. She loved that place.
Yeah.
But you know what? People love this place too when they stay there.
You know what? Next time I'm there, I will never stay any place but this place again.
Right. You're not even going to try any of those other places.
No. There's nothing that you have to offer me that could beat this.
All right. So tell us a little bit about the geography of the location. So like I said, a lot of people visit the Black Hills area because they are visiting Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. And it's funny. I was telling someone earlier, you're driving along in South Dakota, and this is about, I don't know, maybe 30 miles south of Rapid City, South Dakota, which is in the western corner of South Dakota. And when you get there, you're driving along the highway, and it's very desert looking. And then all of a sudden you come onto this oasis, which is the Black Hills of South Dakota, which is a famous song, you know, by Doris Day.
Are you going to sing it for us?
No, I'm not. I'm going to spare you.
Okay.
But she does sing it in Calamity Jane. And I do remember the words about the Black Hills of South Dakota. And in that movie, they filmed it there, and it looks like a storybook, but when you get there, you really get the song. It was absolutely stunning, the landscape there, and just one of my favorite places on the whole trip.
Now, did you visit Mount Rushmore while you were here?
Sure did.
Okay, yeah. And about how long of a drive was it for
you? It's a solid 20 to 30 minutes.
Okay, not bad, though. Mm-hmm. That's easy to get mm-hmm. to. All right, so this is a state park. And the state park itself has multiple different campgrounds, right?
Yes. Custer State Park is a beautiful 71,000-acre state park in a western, sort of southwestern South Dakota, and it has three campgrounds in it. Now, I stayed at Bluebell Campground, which is the top of a mountain. When I made these reservations just sitting around your kitchen table in January, I had no idea that I was going to make a 9-mile ride up the side of the mountain to get to the campground.
Okay, so you stayed at Bluebell Campground, and that's the one we're basically going to review in this episode, mm-hmm. along with, you know, the state park itself. But when you say 9 miles up a mountain, did you feel like it was treacherous?
No. And we were grateful for that. It's called, I think this is what they call the Needles Highway. It's kind of a switchback back and forth. There were some precipices there, but unlike Glacier, there's actually guardrails here. So I never felt unsafe, and it was never so steep that I felt like my car and truck were really struggling to get up there. It was just a gorgeous ride.
Now, how did you personally make reservations for your campground here?
We did it the old-fashioned way on the phone.
Okay.
We just called up.
So the other option, I saw that you can make reservations online, but unlike some other state parks that use Reserve America, this looks like it goes through its own private, like, South Dakota State Parks website. When I looked at it, it seemed fairly user-friendly in terms of being able to see different sites. Did you look at pictures of different sites, or did you just say, place me?
No. We looked at everything online. It had a great website where we could actually, like, look at the site and do, like, a 360 thing. And so we actually chose a buddy site.
Mm, perfect. Explain to people what that is, just in case they don't know.
On my National Parks tour, I was traveling with my girlfriend, Mary. So Mary had her truck and camper, and I had mine. And a buddy site is one large site that you both back into. And so we were basically sharing one really large site.
Right. It's a really nice option when you're traveling with other people. Now, speaking of your larger National Parks tour, because now we've mentioned it twice, your Glacier, you mm-hmm. know, stop, and also traveling with Mary. For any of our listeners that didn't hear all about Janine's big summer trip this past summer of 2017, head on over to the Girl Camper podcast and episode number 96. You did a really nice overview of your National Parks tour, but you did a lot of content prior to that about planning it, and you did content following up too, you know, about expectations versus reality and all of that.
Yeah.
Kind of
and
stuff.
Then what goes into like planning an epic trip mm-hmm. like that? There's a couple of different approaches, and I just shared what mine was. I mean, everybody's brain works a different way, but the way we did it, Mary and I sat down in what I don't know what number episode that is, but don't have that information.
It's over there on Girl Camper. So, you know, they can probably
it's
find
pre-episode
it.
Pre-episode 96.
There you go. Before that. All right. So then it was easy for you to call up and book your site. About how far in advance did you do that to ensure that you had a site?
I believe we booked these in February.
And did you feel like you had a nice range of picks, or
it was starting to fill up.
Okay.
You know, it's not something you do last minute. I mean, you're so close to Crazy Horse, to Mount Rushmore. These are classic places people want to go on those American road trips, and they fill up.
And what about hookups? What'd you have?
So we had a site up at Bluebell. There is no sewer. So we had electric there. And so you have to go ahead of time and fill water up. And then you have to use the dump station when you leave. So when we were at our site, we had just electric.
Oh, but you filled up your water tanks before you got to
the
site.
We did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's
nice. So, you know, we were only there 2 days. So I didn't use a lot of stored water.
Well, you didn't have to, right? Because you love the bathhouses there.
I can't overstate it. It was the most beautiful bathroom I've ever been in a state campground in my, maybe in any campground. They had just finished building them, and the shower rooms were, they were literally half the size of this podcast studio. I mean, they were 8 feet wide and 10 feet long with benches and hooks, and all your stuff got to stay dry, and it's so well laid out, and water pressure and lots of it, and loved the bathrooms.
So people that are building campground bathrooms should visit here.
They should.
And they should take notes and bring those.
Yes, this is how it's done, everybody.
This is what a great campground bathroom looks like. Now, before we move on to sort of more of the individual campsite details and giving people an idea of what it looks like at your site here, I want to ask you, I know I read somewhere that there's like 150 sites total in all of the different campgrounds at the park. Is Bluebell pretty small?
It was a very cozy little campground. And what was interesting is the sites are really large. We were so spread out. People are not right on top of you. It felt there was just a lot of open space in between everybody. So it looked like they could have been jamming a lot of people in there, but they didn't.
All right, open space, but I'm assuming a lot of trees.
This is the funny thing about the Black Hills, and it's a spotted forest. It looks like the evergreens have been like strategically placed there.
It is like one of those little dioramas.
It does. It looks like a little kid took a pencil and said, "I'm going to have one here and here," like you would make in a perfect world. Mm-hmm. And what I discovered later, because I was like, "This is like fairyland here. The grass is so green on the forest floor, and there's no like down trees everywhere." And I kept saying, "This looks like a page out of a children's fairy tale book." And then I found out later from the ranger that they have an invasive beetle there that's killing trees. So they have been cleaning the forest floors, which makes it look, you know. So what happens, though, with all the down trees is lots of sunlight gets in. You're not in one of those campgrounds where it's really heavily wooded and you feel like everything's damp and a little bit moldy. Mm-hmm. It was a perfect world.
Right. Because nice weather, nice sun. All right. That's great. Now, I'm going to assume that the campground had very little by way of amenities and activities, because I think that those are really in the greater state park itself. But correct me if I'm wrong.
No, there was nothing there. There was nothing but nice, friendly people and a lovely camp host and great bathrooms.
All right. But there's plenty of activities and amenities outside in the state park. I mean, in fact, some people say, like, they're really disappointed that they don't spend longer in the state park. A lot of people stay here just to see the surrounding area and then realize they could have spent a week
easily
just exploring the state park.
Easily, because this park had it had three or four different lodges in it. It had a lot of lakes. It has a 14-mile wildlife loop that's kind of world famous. And if you think, well, I hope I see buffalo, you're going to see them.
Right. Yeah. In fact, some people say, like, that's where to go to see wildlife, even more than Yellowstone or anything else.
It really, really is. I mean, we went on the 14-mile loop in the morning after we got there at night, and we went to Rushmore at night, and the next morning we did the 14-mile loop, and it was absolutely beautiful. It's just a stunning park. So you don't have to be looking for the wildlife. But in addition to that, there's all kinds of museums and historic sites. All kinds of really interesting things happen there, and it's really well documented. So I felt like that, like, geez, we need at least a week here. And when Mary and I left, we both said, you know what? I am not driving back to South Dakota to see this, but I would absolutely fly to Rapid City and stay in a lodge for a week and just enjoy that park.
Now, you mentioned the ranger and, you know, getting information from the ranger. Was there a really full slate of ranger programs there?
So many. This was a very active park. What a great place to take really young kids, because if your kids love the outdoors and love history and love learning about animals, they had programs about animals. They had programs about the forest conservation. They had lakes there. They had all kinds of history things about General George Custer and Calvin Coolidge and the building of the Mount Rushmore. So many things to see and do there.
Now, we are going to hear all of the other things to do in the area in a minute. But first, we want to thank our sponsor, Jayco. There's a reason J-Flight has been America's best-selling line of travel trailers for more than a decade. With family-friendly floor plans, plenty of standards and options, and Jayco's two-year limited warranty, you get no worries and all the fun. Available in three different models, the J-Flight SLX, J-Flight, and J-Flight Bungalow, there's a floor plan for every camper. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun. Now, before we move out into the greater world of South Dakota. Let's talk about any sort of last minute insider tips that you would give our listeners if they're planning on camping at this campground in Custer State Park.
Well, I would say if you have a really big rig, you might want to choose one of the lower two campgrounds. And also know, wildlife is just wandering around this park. When we were driving back from Rushmore at night and we were going 9 miles up this windy, curvy, very dark road, we came around a curve and a buffalo was right in the road. And it was dark. I mean, we had to hit the brakes. It was kind of grazing on the side of the road. And at first we were like, oh my gosh, what is that? And so the wildlife is really wild here. The buffalo will cross the campground. If you have a really big trailer, you might want to stay on one of the lower ones. And I think that also you might just want to make sure you make your reservations very early.
Okay. Absolutely. For these highly trafficked destinations.
If you have a kid who's an equestrian and you really love horseback riding, Bluebell would be the campground for you because they have an equestrian center right outside of the campground.
And you can go horseback riding?
Right there. Beautiful. Through the trails.
Wow. I can't really convince anybody in my family to do that with me. Oh, my boys are like, no.
Well, I have a jumper. My youngest is she jumps over barrels and I have to cover my eyes. But yeah, we always have to do that.
All right. So before we move on, I have to ask you, we always say that every campground that we review on Campground of the Week is a recommendation, but nobody's perfect. Could you come up with something for improvement at this campground?
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. Not really. I mean, like every campground, the Wi-Fi is spotty. Mm-hmm. But of all the campgrounds, so I was gone for 30 days, and in 30 days, I stayed at 20 campgrounds. If I had to pick, if I had to pick one that I wanted to go back to, I would pick. If you were just talking about the campground itself, obviously Yellowstone and Glacier, the surroundings are, you know.
But that's the campground, right? The actual campground experience.
This was my number one campground pick for the whole trip. It was absolutely stunning. I just want to get a book and sit under one of those beautiful trees for a week.
And those are the kind of campgrounds we review on Campground of the Week. We bring you the best,
yes,
folks.
Yes, absolutely. Gorgeous.
All right. So we're going to give you a pass on that. I think we've like probably given out a total of 3 or 4 passes on Nobody's Perfect in the entire time we've been reviewing Campground of the Week.
Well, I challenge anybody out there who's been there to come up with something. Maybe I didn't see it, but I loved everything about it.
All right. So now what else did you do while you were staying at this campground?
Well, we went into this cute little town on the way there, Hermosa. So we dumped our trailers and then we wanted to have dinner before we headed off to our tourist things. So we went into the little town of Hermosa, which was quite cute. It looks like an old Western town and it's touristy, but not a tourist trap. I mean, obviously people live in this town. So we had a great dinner there. I wish I could remember the name of the restaurant, but it was a microbrewery. We had buffalo burgers there. Really good food, very reasonable. We got to stroll around town a little. There was really nice local things. So I really did enjoy visiting that town. And then we headed over and we went to Crazy Horse.
Very debated, hotly debated, right? Whether it's worth a visit to Crazy Horse. Did you enjoy your visit?
Well, here's my take on it. It's worth the $20 because it's $20 for a carload to get in. So, you know, you pay $20. We were in one car. So 3 of us got in for $20. Then when you get inside, you have to pay again to get in the actual museum part. So it's really like you're paying $20 to park and then you got to pay for the museum. I skipped the part where you take the special bus and go up close to it because we were on our way to Rushmore and I just wanted to see it. I thought it was worth it. Beautiful museum, really, really beautiful Indian artifacts. And I just love the story of that sculptor and his family. I mean, it's a very intriguing story.
Interesting living history, too. I think that anybody that visits is living through a historical moment, and we'll see what happens with it down the line,
because it's,
right?
It's still happening.
Exactly. So, all right, so then you went off to Rushmore.
Yeah. So we decided to do the evening tour of Rushmore just because it worked in our travel schedule. We didn't get to Custer State Park until maybe 2 in the afternoon, and by the time we set up, and we were only there overnight. I mean, we didn't leave there till like 4 the next day because we were only going a little further north. So we really decided we wanted to do Rushmore at night instead of on our way out the next day. And I'm so glad I did that because they don't have that whole ceremony during the day. So we went to the lighting ceremony at night, and it was very moving. And I've read a lot about Rushmore and the construction of the monument before. So I sort of buzzed the museum and everything there. And all of the state and national parks have the same things in the gift shop. I just took a look at the display and I was happy with that. I really wanted to get a good seat and see the ceremony.
All right. So timing wise with this trip, I think people struggle with a stop at Rushmore because you don't want to be there too short of amount of time, right? Because how many times you're going to get back to South Dakota in your entire life, probably, right? So you want to have enough time to see everything. But then at the same time, some people are like, well, I don't want to have too much time, right? Yeah. Is there really enough to keep me busy over, say, a week? So people kind of try to hit that sweet spot with a stop there. Now, I'm thinking you mentioned Crazy Horse and Rushmore, and then also Custer State Park sounds like it has so much to offer.
Right.
What would have been the perfect amount of time for you to kind of experience the Black Hills and Rushmore and really soak in that area before moving on?
I think I would have wanted a minimum of 4 days.
Okay.
You could easily spend 3 full days just at Custer and still didn't feel like you had it. Crazy Horse is an hour stop. You kind of want to do it because you're going just by it. And I think you need at least a half a day at Rushmore.
All right. And you can make it to the Badlands for a day trip, right? If you stay here too.
You could. I don't recommend it, but you could.
Yeah. But you could squeeze it all. I wouldn't do it that way. But if people are pressed for time, you could stay longer at Custer State Park.
Right. You could actually camp at Custer State Park and do a day trip. It's a 75-mile driving loop through Badlands National Park. It would be a day trip. You would leave at 8 in the morning. You'd be back at 8 at night, and you would have done Badlands.
All right. Thank you, Janine, so much for that review of Custer State Park in the Black Hills of South Dakota near Rushmore National Monument. Now, remember, you can go back and listen to episode number 49 of Campground of the Rink to hear Carrie Cox talk about Rafter J Bar Ranch, another campground option in the area. We will keep reviewing campgrounds in these areas, these destinations of the country that are just so high interest for people who are looking like, how do I make a choice about where to stay? And I think that that was just a really helpful review for people to kind of sort through. It sounds like this is a beautifully remote, just classic camping spot, right?
And an amazing destination. And I will send you some great pictures.
Okay. And they will be in the show notes for this Campground of the Week episode. I want to thank Jayco and Jellystone, and I also want to thank Progressive. Your RV is very different from your car, which is exactly why you need to get specialized RV insurance coverage instead of insuring under your auto policy. With specialized coverages, you're even more protected on the road. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV. Thank you, Janine, so much for coming on.
Always, Stephanie.
And you stayed at 20 campgrounds, so we better have you on for a couple more.
I got a couple more.
All right, I will see you at the campground.
See you there. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.